He is risen.
He is risen.
Yes. Good response. Great reply. Happy Easter to everyone. A great big warm welcome to each and every one of you to this our worship service on this glorious Easter day. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day, and each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. Great to be in the Lord's house. Sandra, come on, say a few things here.
Good morning. Now, I have quite a few announcements this morning. The LCF has two projects coming up on April 10th and 11th from 9 to 4. And the one is their ongoing Women to Women project with fabric scissors, sewing machines, sergers. And the second one, they have a new banner kit in, and they need help there. So good scissors would be useful, and they can also be paper scissors. So if you'd like to help, get in touch with these ladies. They're looking for helpers for VBS this summer, so if you have some time to donate, please talk to Chelsea or Sharon. The official board meeting is Wednesday, April 24th at 7:30 p.m. Beef supper and bake sale, Saturday, April 27th from 5 to 7 p.m. And I'd like to ask you to join us on Saturday, April 13th at 7 p.m. for our murder comedy called Murder by the Book. You can bring a dessert or make a donation at the door. And the sign-up sheet for the dessert is in the foyer. I would also like to announce that Alan and Lita Reed will be celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary, and they're having an open house at the Gold and Silver on Sunday, April 7th from 2 to 4. No gifts, please. Your presence will be your gift. And
60th wedding anniversary. Come on! Whoa!
I believe those are all my announcements. Are there any other announcements this morning? Thank you.
Thanks, Sandra.
Oh, Alan's got an announcement.
Yes, there's an announcement. I've just got a new list out of the jar for jar leaders from now to the end of June. And so have a look at it. If your name may well be on it.
Did you get that? There's a new list of door greeters. Where it usually is, down by the door there. So check the list to see if you're on duty at any time in the near future. On this day when we celebrate the greatest miracle that the world has ever experienced, I want to share with you a little miracle that we have experienced in our church. Many of you already know about it, but for quite some time now, our photocopier has been slowly dying, creeping closer and closer and closer to that ultimate death. And it got so bad that Richard actually went to Calgary and he was looking at new photocopiers and he actually thought about buying one. He got to the point where a decision was made and he said to the guy he had to go and consult with some other people first before spending this large amount of money. Whilst all that was going on, our church chairman, our congregational chairman, Mike Robertson, who works at a Christian school in Three Hills, got an email to say that because their school was moving around, they had a couple of photocopiers, if anyone was interested. So Mike went and he beat somebody else by 10 minutes to get the one that he wanted. And he called Richard and he said to Richard, "I've made an executive decision. It's already on the back of my truck." And so, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. We needed a new photocopier. We got one, and boy, was the price right. And Richard is so relieved. Aren't we all? I don't know what you're doing with that old one, Richard. Do you want anything?
We'll talk about it.
We have an old photocopier. We'll talk about it, but it's nearly dead. On this glorious Easter day, we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Almighty Father, who through the eternal victory of your Son has brought us out of the shadow of the cross and the gloom of the garden and the night of the tomb to this glorious sunrise of everlasting life and light, fill us now with the glory of Christ's victory, so that transformed and strengthened by him, we may overcome all that separates us from you in this life, and through Christ may we come to the life that never ends. Amen. When we get done singing this first hymn, I would like you, if you would, to please remain standing. We rise and we sing to God's glory. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Please remain standing. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree.
God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins.
We are witnesses to these things. Please be seated. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious, almighty, and glorious Heavenly Father, you have triumphed over evil, for Christ our Saviour has risen from the grave and holds out to all who will receive it the glorious gift of salvation, even to those who crucified him. We thank you, Father, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Be real to us, Lord God, in this time of worship. May our hearts be alive to our Saviour who is alive. May our minds be open as the tomb is open. And may we experience that new life that is the promise to all who call upon your name. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see your glory. Open our ears that we may hear your voice. Open our lips that we might sing your praises. We come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
During the offertory this morning, Peggy is to play a piece of music entitled I Know That My Redeemer Liveth, a piece of music that I'm sure many of us are familiar with, and maybe we might just sing along a little bit under our breaths, who knows. But your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your goodness to us. You fill our lives with love. You shower us with blessings. We come to you now, Lord, and we bring our gifts to you, our gifts which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. If the children are going out, I think I get the signal, now is a good time for them to go. And we stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 234, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Last night, around about midnight, Laurie Nixon's mum, Rosemary, passed away. And I know that many of you have been keeping Rosemary in your prayers and Laurie and their family. And Laurie phoned me this morning to say that this is what happened around about midnight last night. Some of you already know that Laurie's mum was expected to die by Christmas. But Rosemary had said that she would love to live till the springtime. And guess what she did? She lived through to the springtime. And when I spoke to Laurie this morning, she said to me, "You know what's really good about this?" She says, "It's good to be part of a church family. A church family which holds its arms out to you and embraces you and uplifts you, and the prayers that they pray on your behalf just lift you up. We rise on the prayers of our church family." And she wanted me to express to her church family her gratitude for your love for her and for her mum and for her family. And I think all of us can echo those sentiments. How good it is to be part of a family, of a church family, of our own families. We look around our church on Easter Sunday and we can see that lots of families come back together to be with their own families. And as one group, we come together as the family of God to worship God on this glorious day. And it is good to be part of it. We come in and we find things are done. We come in and we find the church has been decorated and it's like a spring garden. You know, and we don't know who did it. It's one of these magic things that just happens in this church. We come in and things just happen, you know. We don't know how they happen. We needed a photocopier. Oh, I've told you that story. We get a photocopier and snow falls and the snow gets cleared and, you know, coffee needs to be made and coffee just is made. The place needs to be cleaned and it's cleaned. We are part of God's family and God touches all of our lives and he cares for us as we care for one another. And we are thankful. We are so thankful. And so let us now bow our heads and come together once again in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father and our Creator, before you who created this world and who created life itself, we bow down and we worship on this Easter day. We thank you, Lord, for this Easter light and this Easter warmth. And we thank you that these symbols of the springtime of our souls have come to us again for our blessing, for our inspiration, and for our guidance and our salvation. We come before you, Holy Lord, in humility, remembering how great and how vast you are, making us so conscious of how small and how insignificant we are. We are like the dust from which we were formed. Yet you, Almighty Lord, you permit us to come into your holy presence. You call us into your presence, and you desire that we come before your throne of grace to worship you. O Lamb of God, we come. The whole universe seems to resound on this day with a loud Amen. When everything that our Lord and Savior did and spoke of were made eternally true by his rising from the grave. Father in heaven, as you gave us your only Son to offer for us the precious gift of life in abundance, grant that your resurrection warmth may come over all of those cold areas of our lives. Grant that your resurrection light may come over all of the darkness, driving away all of the gloom. And fill us, Lord, with that radiant light of your gracious love, that we, in turn, may shine for you. We commit, Lord, to your loving care all of those whom you have placed upon our hearts, all of those of our church family who are in need of your holy, healing presence in their lives at this time, our own families, Lord, especially those from whom we are separated, and our own church family here, Lord, We think of the Nixon family, that you will touch their lives and bless them at this time. We ask you now, Lord, to hear the silent prayers of our hearts, and that you will grant these people your peace. We pray in silence. Fill us now, Lord, with the light of faith that glowed from that empty tomb when Christ our Lord arose. For the light of his presence takes away the darkness from any part of our lives and leads us to you. Hear our prayers, Lord, for we offer them in the name which is above all other names, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now on this Easter day, we have special music presented for us by Peggy and Laurie, and they are to play for us their piano and organ duet of "Lo, in the Grave He Lay." Thank you. when they've finished this piece of music, don't applaud, or you'll be in trouble. Wasn't that beautiful? Wow, didn't you feel like singing? It was excellent, excellent, beautiful. I don't know how you do it, Peggy. This organ, it's like the cockpit of a jumbo jet with all these controls, and she's got about 6 feet of paper stretched out in front of her. And then we've got Laurie playing this beautiful instrument here. And wow, we just join with you and we praise the Lord and we lift our hands up to heaven. Thank you. It was beautiful. Thank you so very, very much. And now we listen to the words of the Lord. Thank you.
The epistle this morning is taken from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 19 to 26. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And the gospel is from 24th chapter of Luke, verses 1 to 12. Jesus is risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told them this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Thanks to Marge for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing once again to God's glory. The hymn 227, Thine is the Glory. We're all in good voice this morning. The singing is great. It's inspiring. Good job. Well done. Following the service today, there will be our usual coffee and another one of those magical events. From somewhere has come a whole pile of hot cross buns, and our job is to eat them. So there'll be hot cross buns after the service, and you'll also see some beautiful little cupcakes, and they're all beautifully coloured with icing and decorations. They're not for you. They're for the children. So keep your hands off them. You can have a hot cross bun and that's it. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Lady called Ruth Dillow received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son, Clayton Carpenter Dillow, private first class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. Ruth Dillow later wrote, "I can't begin to describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me to no avail because the loss was too great." And I think every parent here can relate to that grief. But 3 days after Ruth Dillow received, after she received that message, her telephone rang. And the voice on the other end of the line said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." And Ruth Dillow said, "I couldn't believe it at first. But then I recognized his voice. Ruth's son was alive. The earlier message that she had received was a mistake. She said, I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was alive." Surprise, Ruth Dillow, the son you thought was dead is alive. A young girl could hardly wait for Easter to come. She had a new dress to wear, new shoes to go with it, but her father wondered, did she really know the true meaning of Easter? "Cara," he said to her, "do you know what Easter means?" "Yes, I do," she smiled. "What does it mean then?" her father asked. And with a smile on her face and her arms raised high, she cried out, "Surprise! Surprise!" And there is no better word for Easter than that word, surprise. That was the clear reaction of Christ's disciples and his closest friends on that Easter day. Luke tells us that Jesus' disciples were distraught after his crucifixion. And early on the Sunday morning, some of the women took spices to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. The mouth of the tomb was open. And when they went inside, Christ's body was not there. And then we read suddenly, two men in gleaming white clothes stood beside them. And the women bowed down their faces in fear. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Key words, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered Christ's words. Then we read, when the women came back from the tomb, they told the disciples what had happened, but none of the men believed them. None of the men believed them. Their words seemed like nonsense. And you know, in many ways, we are like those first disciples. We are like the women coming to the grave that day. They had heard the promise of Jesus that on the third day, the Son of Man would be raised from the dead by the powers of God. They had heard that promise. They had heard his promise to the thief on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. They had heard Jesus teach, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Nevertheless, on that morning, when they came to the tomb, they came expecting death, didn't they? They were expecting death. When they came that morning to the grave, in spite of all of Jesus' promises, they came expecting to find death. They came to anoint his body, his dead body. And I'm kind of suspicious that we are a bit like that. We are a bit like those women. Even though we have heard the promises of God, we've heard these promises over and over again. On the third day I will rise. Today you will be with me in paradise. I am the resurrection and the life. Because I live, you will live also. We have all heard these wonderful and amazing promises from Christ. The women had heard them. Yet on that day, that first Easter morning, when they went to the tomb, they were expecting death. Deep down in everyone's soul, there seems to lie a pessimism that believes that that's all there is. Sigmund Freud calls it the death instinct. And so, we come to the graves of life, the graves of our parents, our grandmas and our grandpas, and we finally come to our own deathbed, and we quietly pray, I believe, help my unbelief, and then we die. We sleep, and then we awake, and we say, holy moly! Wow! It is so incredibly beautiful! We are stunned, we are breathless, we are astonished and astounded, we are amazed, we are awestruck, we are dazzled and dumbfounded with the beauty of what God has prepared for you and for me. The Apostle St. Paul was right when he said, no eye can see, no ear can hear, no mind can imagine the good and wonderful things that God has prepared for us. Surprise! Surprise! New birth into a brand new world that we could never even imagine. And it's because of these promises and because of this kind of thing that we can celebrate with Laurie Nixon that her mom, she may have passed on from here, and she may be sad and people may be sad that they're not going to see her anymore, but what a glory that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ and they know where she is and she is in that glory now. Wow! Surprise! And you know, one of the best illustrations that I have ever come across to describe the resurrection, and I've used it before, I've told it to you before, but in his book, Teaching Your Children About God, Rabbi David Wolpe recalls an ancient Jewish parable. And it's about twin unborn children lying together in the womb. One believes that there is a world beyond the womb, where people walk upright, where there are mountains and oceans and a sky filled with stars. The other unborn twin can barely contain his contempt at such foolish ideas. And suddenly, the believer of the twins is forced through the birth canal, leaving behind the only way of life that he has ever previously known. The remaining unborn twin is saddened, convinced that a great catastrophe has befallen his companion. Outside the womb, however, the parents are rejoicing, for what the remaining brother left behind has just witnessed is not death, but life. New life. Brand new life. This, Wolf reminds us, is the classic view of life beyond the grave. A birth into a world that we on earth can only try to imagine. We can only try to imagine, but we can never really get there. And the Easter message is that we have an older brother who has travelled beyond the tomb, down the birth canal of eternity, and has returned to assure us that God is love and that there is a place prepared for any who will accept the good news of Christ, the resurrection of Christ beyond the grave. Whether your name is Marie or Mary, or Peter or Judas, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ came into the world to save you and me. And his promise is to you and to me. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And Christ's final words in this piece of scripture is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our closing hymn today chose itself. We can only sing one other hymn to round off this service, and that is singing to the glory of God, the hymn 220. He lives. We stand and sing to his glory.
Save your ease in the world today. I know.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.